And we go back to the Revel Wireless Hotline. And joining us now, a great friend of this show, a great friend, period, the one and only Bill Polian from ESPN. Bill, first of all, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back, Vic.
Well, I want to start with the Super Bowl, Bill, and your thoughts on how this all played out, about as bizarre a Super Bowl as could be. I think back, I can't have a Super Bowl thought without thinking of you, thinking of the Bills teams that went there multiple times, the, of course, the Colts teams that went there multiple times, just your strong connection to that game. And I just can't, and also knowing you, and knowing how, you know, fiercely competitive you are about everything you do, I don't know if I wanted to be near you if the lights went out while either the Bills or the Colts were in that game and you were the GM. Oh my God.
Well, suffice it to say that I probably would not have sat there quietly.
Oh man. Oh man.
Well, I mean, cannot imagine what those poor guys went through, the general managers, the head coaches, the assistant coaches, with everything that leads up to the Super Bowl and everything you've been through during the 2 weeks prior to it, all of the range of emotions that you feel, and then to just have the lights go out. My Lord, what a deflating and frustrating experience it must have been. And I understand completely, although he apologized for it, and I don't think he needed to apologize, what John Harbaugh was hot about. Yeah. There is something called the rule of equity in the NFL, which applies principally to the coaching phones. And the rule says very simply that if one team's coaching phones go down,
right,
the other team must remove theirs and not use them until such time as the phones are working for everyone. And I understood after reading a postmortem that the Ravens phones had gone down and the 49ers still had theirs, their coaches still had theirs on and ostensibly were talking to upstairs. They hadn't lost the communication.
Right.
And so what John was arguing about and what he got, you know, shown arguing rather vehemently about was the rule of equity and I think he was right.
Mike Kensel.
It was a completely untoward situation, but nonetheless, he was right.
Mike Kensel from the league was receiving the wrath of Harbaugh there, the wrath of John Harbaugh. You saw that, and I know you know Mike quite well. You worked with him, and a lot of people were wondering about that. I had people inquiring with me via text and whatever. Why is John so mad at the security guy? I said he's not a security guy. He works for the league, and he's the one who, just as you said, was trying to, not give John a satisfactory answer regarding that whole headphone situation. But you're right, Bill. When you think about you use the word deflating, and it clearly was to the Ravens, and it clearly was a boost to the 49ers, who had been so out of sorts, who seemed very uptight, and I think it was a clear advantage that they had that opportunity to regroup.
Well, it was almost an hour and a half in real time, because you have to count the 30-minute halftime show
right
before the players really got on the field and got going. And the first thing that ran through my mind was, wow, what are they going to do about a warm-up here? And what are we going to do about stretching these players? Because I know from my own Super Bowl experience that we, during the super long halftimes, keep in mind, for fans that don't focus on it, your normal halftime in the locker room is 9 minutes.
Right.
This is 28 minutes. So it's three times as long. And we fed the players snacks, and we stretched them in the locker room and in the halls leading to the tunnel to the field while the halftime show was on. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, boy, based on my experience, they better give the two teams a warm-up period. And they didn't, which surprised me. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, no one was injured. And I think it was maybe Phil Sims or one of the other broadcasters, maybe Bill Cowher, who made a very valid point. We do two-a-days in training camp, and players are used to that break, that long break, you know, for lunch and maybe a nap and then a second practice, and maybe that sort of muscle memory kicked in that situation.
Okay.
But it's an interesting theory and one that really, really got my attention. But I was really concerned about injury with that kind of a long layoff. I've never experienced that in 35 years in professional football.
Bill Polian joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. He is from ESPN. He's a former NFL executive and one of the more highly decorated ones in league history here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bill, when you saw how this game, so we talked about the twists and turns caused by that blackout and how it ultimately ended up. Just your thoughts on, first of all, the way the Ravens performed, and were you thinking that they were a team that could be just what they were, the champions? And then on the flip side of it, I mean, a lot of folks thought the Niners were the better club going in, didn't obviously play that way or play well enough to win it. But, you know, what you saw in them and what you see in them going forward.
Well, I picked the Ravens to win in the preseason because I felt it was Joe Flacco's time. I felt that it was the last hurrah for a lot of their great veterans, not only Ray Lewis but Ed Reed and Nata and people of that nature. They will have some pretty serious cap problems in the off season, so this was, you know, the time for them. And I thought they would make it. And I did change my mind, however, when Suggs and Ladarius Webb and Ray got hurt and they had those problems in the offensive line. But to John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome's everlasting credit, they got everybody healthy. They straightened out the offensive line. Jim Caldwell did a phenomenal job developing Joe Flacco this year,
right,
and then taking over as offensive coordinator, and they made the run all the way. But they prove unequivocally that it is the healthiest good team that has the best chance to win the Super Bowl,
right.
Not the team that necessarily has the best record during the regular season. Yeah. As far as the 49ers were concerned, I picked the Falcons over them to go to the Super Bowl, and it was more a heart than a head pick because, as you know, my son Chris works for the Falcons.
Right, right.
But I thought it was Matt Ryan's time as well, and I think that proved to be the case. The wild card there was Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
I, frankly, had very high regard for him but did not see him stepping in this year. I thought it would be next year. And he made the difference. And it was in the championship game, the read option, where the Falcons decided to stop Kaepernick from running the ball, but gave up the inside zone run to Gore and to LaMichael, and they ended up losing the ball game in a very tight game. So Kaepernick in the end made the difference between the two teams. And as far as going forward is concerned, the Ravens do have cap problems and some age problems, so they'll have to address that in the offseason. The Niners really have neither, and I think you know, their best days are still ahead of them.
You bring up read option. Is it, and I realize it has a lot to do with having the right quarterback to run it, and that there are a few of them now in this league who seem to have the ability to do so, but it's not like a standard. But as you see it as a tactic, as a scheme, is it sustainable going forward? Are we going to see more or less of this in the seasons to come?
Well, I think you're going to see less of it because it takes a special quarterback to run it. And the only one that I've seen that I could really hang my hat on coming up is Johnny Manziel, and he's very short. I mean, he's Doug Flutie-like short. He's Russell Wilson-like short. So, you know, I don't think every quarterback can do it. You can put it in, But really, when you stop and think about how to defense it, you say to yourself, well, you know, if I don't have a running threat at quarterback, then I'll stop the dive. That's all. So there isn't a lot of mystery to it unless the quarterback can run. Now, interestingly enough, your new coach, Rob Chudzinski, I thought did the best coaching job of anybody in the National Football League over the past 2 years, creating an offense really out of whole cloth for Cam Newton, a guy who, you know, was somewhat limited in the passing game. But who obviously has great physical gifts, and he was limited in experience, really, and had only played 2 years of college football.
Right.
And one of them was at the junior college level. So he created an offense that was really amazing in terms of how efficient it became, and particularly in the passing game. You know, that's a good sign for Browns fans, because here's a guy that took an offense that really didn't exist in pro football and created it and made Cam Newton a functioning quarterback, where many, many people thought that, you know, his lack of experience and his lack of sophistication in reading defenses and things like that would severely limit him. So, you know, that's a good sign for Browns fans. Adaptability and the ability to create the with imagination and efficiency is a rare commodity, and your head coach clearly has it.
Well, you anticipated where I wanted to go next. The hiring of Rob Chudzinski, I haven't talked with you since that happened. North Turner as offensive coordinator, Ray Horton as D coordinator. Your takes on the moves that the Browns have made at the coaching spots.
Well, you know what I feel like about Chud. I mean, I live here in Carolina and watched him up close and personal and really marveled at what he did. Norv is a terrific coach. He's been around for a long time. He's been there, done that. He's a great developer of quarterbacks, and that will bode well for Brandon Whedon. So I think that's a terrific move. The move from 4-3 to either a power 4-3 or a 3-4, which in essence is really a 3-4. The principles are 3-4 principles, which I think Ray adheres to, will cause some disruption both in technique and in personnel. But I think that there's enough good personnel on the defense that they can adapt. Coach Horton's a good coach. He'll adapt. They'll probably be better late in the season than early, because they're going to have to learn new techniques and new reads and new keys, et cetera. So that will take time. So probably, they'll be better later in the season than early in the season. But in the long run, what you're trying to do is build something that is stable and will last a while. And so they embark on a new direction there.
Is it very taxing from a personnel acquisition standpoint to address the needs of that scheme? Obviously, as you said, there's enough young, versatile guys who will be the core or the base of what he's putting together. But how about filling out the rest of those parts, and how much can you do in one off season to address that?
Well, it's pretty hard. I mean, if you look at the standard 4-3, the Pittsburgh style, which is where Ray learned it as a player and as a coach, I think, in his early years. You have to have a quality nose tackle. You got to have top quality nose tackle. You have to have two pass rushing outside linebackers. They need to be top quality players. It helps if the right end is really athletic, because he can stay in the game then as an inside pass rusher in nickel situations when you go four down. You have to have corners who can play man-to-man, because the basis of all the blitzing is that you cover people man-to-man on the back end. I've always believed that, some people differ with me on this, but I've always believed that you need to have a top-flight free and strong safety, because of the pressure that the modern game puts on the secondary. And when you're blitzing a lot, the safeties really do come into play, and it sure helps if you have a Troy Polamalu, Bob Sanders type guy. the Ravens have Ed Reed. You know, you just keep thinking about it. You have to have a top flight safety in that style of defense. The Jets paid Laurent Landry last year. You need that. So those are positions that I'm sure the Browns will look hard at their roster and say, do we have this? And if they don't, they're going to have to go get them. And that takes time. I mean, you don't do that overnight, but you don't build championships overnight either.
Right. Well, Bill, tremendous as always. We always love the insights and the knowledge, and we look forward to visiting with you again, my friend.
Okay. Take care.
All right. That was Bill Polian from ESPN joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.